Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see everybody. Thank you, Molly. Let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for the opportunity to come freely and just learn of your word. And Lord, as we open your scriptures, we just ask that you would pour out wisdom and guidance upon our lives, that we could see what you want us to see and live what you want us to live and be the disciples in which you called us to be. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and the honor, and we just invite your presence this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was actually going to preach this last week, but I ended up not preaching last week, as y'all can tell. But I had a sermon, and so I went ahead and tailored it for a smaller version. And it's kind of titled The Peace of God. I think the peace of God is something that we all need. I think the peace of God is something that we need to learn how to give to each other and to pass it on. Because let's face it, in the world and the times that we're living in now, peace is kind of hard to come by. And I really start looking at that, and you call me crazy, but I'm using the scripture to support what I'm saying. But I think the peace is there. We got to learn how to live in it. We have to learn how to live in it. So I'm looking at things. I'm looking at what people say. I'm looking at things that's going on. Let me give you an example. I'm reading this from 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read some scriptures first before we get to the main one. But if you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians, go ahead. I think sometimes our peace seems to fade away because of what we think, because of what we ponder, what we meditate on, what we let fester in our minds. And we're going to learn how to gain that back. We're going to learn how to take control of our own selves, our own thoughts, our own minds, and enjoy living the peace that God has for us. So in 2 Thessalonians, I want to read chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, this is from the New King James Version, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the Son of Man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Think about it. He says, let no one deceive you by any means. I like how he opens with it. Don't let no one deceive you. Why? He says, that day will not come. The coming of the Lord will not come until a great falling away comes first. Isn't that what it says? So why is it, as Christians, we see a falling away and we get beside ourselves? We see people going the opposite direction. And we think we can reclaim everything. We almost think that we can cause a worldwide revival. We seem to think that we can, we see the whole world as a whole. We see a drift away from God and we're taken by surprise. And we kind of say, well, wait, something ain't right. We got to make a stance. Let no one deceive you. He says, before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a falling away. Things are going to get worse. People's going to turn their backs on God. America has turned their backs on God. So we see that's a season. So, I mean, so many people are kind of like in awe because they see this falling away. And sometimes people are fretting and they're discouraged. And God's saying, wait a minute, my word says it first. There's going to be this. It's going to be that. And then as he talks about, then the son of man, the son of sin, the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, will step in. So we got to understand there's going to be a falling away. People's going to turn their backs on God.
Two things though. One, I just think it seems so, I don't know, but it seems so fast. Like it's like a whirlwind all of a sudden. And the second thing is your heart just like breaks for these people. Like you don't see this. You don't see any of this, do you?
Right.
And they just keep wandering off into the dark part of the woods, and they want to stay there. And it's like, huh.
See, that brings up a very good point. Our hearts break.
Yeah.
When our hearts break, what happens? Our emotions kick in.
Yeah.
And when our emotions kick in, we're saying, no, this is not so. We can change it. We can change it. We can fix it. We need to pray. We need to pray. Yeah, of course, pray. Of course, by all means, pray that their eyes would be open. That's scriptural. But the Bible does say there's going to be a falling away. When you see this falling away, don't let it take you by surprise. Because what happens is we see this falling away. We see it on TV. We see it in government. We see it in school systems. We see that they're turning their backs. And we're like, I can't believe it. And we get frustrated. So we start thinking of the falling away. And we start thinking of defeat mode. No, we're not defeated. It's just God's word is coming into play. So turn to Matthew chapter 24. What I really like is, and as we read 2 Thessalonians, the first thing it said, let no one deceive you by any means. There's going to be some people. I've actually heard some people say, if there's a falling away, then we as Christians have not did our job. I've actually heard people say that. I've heard people say, if we just stand back and watch it fall away, then we don't have faith that we can make a change. That's why it says, let no one deceive you. That time will not come until there's a great falling away. So his word says there's going to be a falling away. Let no one deceive you. Don't let no one make you feel guilty thinking that you didn't pray hard enough, that your faith wasn't strong enough. Pray for everybody. You know, pray that their eyes would be open. Pray that their hearts would be open. But at the same time, you got to understand there's going to be a falling away. America is going to continue to turn their back on God. They're to continue to be lovers of themselves. They're going to continue to be too greedy. They're going to continue to be disobedient to their parents. Those things are going to continue. So, Matthew 24, look in verses 4. I'm going to read 4 through 13 real quick. And the reason I'm reading this is it gets our minds to start thinking of the, some of the things we're thinking about. In this, he starts off in verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. See, deception is going to be rampant. Deception is going to be rampant. You know, we see in 2 Thessalonians, let no one deceive you. Here we see in Matthew, take heed that no man deceive you. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and I shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he goes on. He says in verse 7, for nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Look at this in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So when you read this, he says false prophets are going to rise up. We see false prophets, and all of a sudden we are on this visual to pray and pray against it. God's saying they're going to rise up. There's going to be many false prophets that rise up. He says people's going to kill you for my name's sake. Christians will be killed for the sake of the Lord. These things are going to happen. We can't form a band of religion. We can't form a team and prevent these things. We can't stop it. We see it happen. We're taken by surprise sometimes. These things are going on in other countries. And we sit and we think, well, we got to stop it. We got to do something. We got to stop it. How can you stop it when it says these things are going to happen? Think about that. It says in his word that these things are going to happen. So when we see it, we have to sit back and say, you know what, God? Your word is true. Your word is honorable. Your word is just. I see it happening, but I'm going to still pray for them. I'm going to pray for their comfort. I'm going to pray for their peace. Because God's got his hand upon them. If he says Christians shall be killed for my name's sake, don't you think he's going to protect them? Don't you think he's going to take care of them? What's going through their mind is not what's going through our mind. And our hearts break as we see it. But I really believe God's got his hand on them. And then, you know, he's doing something with them to sustain them. So the reason why I bring this out We see false prophets arise. We see people going the other direction. And we somehow think about the negative that we forget that the Word of God says it. So what happens is as we see it and we think about it, all of a sudden our fear and our peace begin to leave us because we're dwelling on something we don't think should be. And we're sitting there thinking, that shouldn't be. We need to do something. We need to stand up. So we're fighting against something that God says is going to happen. Does everybody see where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. It makes sense? Yeah. We have to be knowledgeable of what God says is going to happen. He says false prophets are going to rise up. We see false prophets rise up, we get upset. And we start to pray against them. And we say, this shouldn't be. We try to stop it. We can pray, but our prayers should be guided to those who hear it, that they wouldn't be misled.
Deceived.
We can't pray that the false prophets go because there's going to be many more that rise up. He's saying, don't be deceived. We have to know our word. So does everybody get that?
Yes.
Now turn to Philippians 4:8. This is where I really want to go. And the reason why I bring that up is because sometimes our minds begin to think about what's going on and our mindset becomes different. When we start focusing in on what we think should be different versus the reality, all of a sudden we start to lose peace. We start to lose heart. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, we're going to see how all this comes together. He starts off. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. See, I'm going to stop right there. He's going to tell us to think on these things. He says, think on the things that are true. When we see false prophets rise up, that's truth because God said it. When we see people in other countries being killed for the name of Jesus Christ, God said it was going to happen. Those things are true. You got to fix your mind on think about things that are true. Because here's what's happened. We see these things develop. We see these things unfolding. And we say, well, we need to do something to stop it. We need to do something to change it. Let's form a team. Let's form a prayer group. Let's do some things that we can stop it. Well, now all of a sudden you're fighting against truth. Because God's word said these things are going to happen. But our emotions get involved and we try to do things against it. But when he says, when you think about things that are true, so when I see these things on TV, I start thinking, you know what, God, your word is true because you said it. I start to see how his word is unfolding. I start to see how his seasons are in place. I can see it because now I'm thinking about truth. How many times have we said, well, those things are going, we need to pray that it stops. We need to pray against that. We need to pray that that does not happen. But God says, my truth says it's going to happen. You see that? We fix our mind on what is true. So when Christians are being killed for the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel says it's going to happen. That's truth. When it says false prophets shall rise, that's truth. We have to fix our mind on the things that are true. He says, not only that, he goes on, he says, whatever things are honest. You know, I look at this. It really had my mind thinking. We got to think of things that are true. We got to think of things that are honest. Sometimes people will tell you things to manipulate you. Sometimes people will tell you things in order to get you to do what they want you to do. Sometimes the truth and the honesty is not all there. We have to think about things that are true, and we have to think about things that are honest. And when we see these things unfolding, it's truth. And it's honest. But if I come in here and I say, hey, look, we're all going to support this group. This group is going to go out and they're going to try to change the world. They're going to try to bring peace to these other nations. They're going to try to stop these senseless murders for the Christians. We're going to raise money. We're going to stop this. Is that truth and honesty? That's my emotions speaking. That's what I would like to do. But when you stop and think, well, I got to think about truth. I got to think about things that are honest. Well, we can send money to help them get the gospel out. We can send money to let them know, hey, we're praying for you. But we can't stop the things that's going on. We can't stop false prophets. We can't stop Christians being killed. You see how we have to fix our mind on the things that are truth and the things that are filled with honesty. So, moving on. Not only that, but we got to think about things that are just. I looked up just. I wanted to get a good definition of just. Just, by definition, says things that are legally correct. And when God says all these things has to happen first, that's legally correct. It's morally correct. It's all correct. So when you see it, then you focus in and say, you know what? These things are true. These things are honest. And these things are correct. The things that you're seeing, God's got his hand in it. The things that you're seeing is being unfolded as he described it. You see how your mind all of a sudden starts to change? Now you're not trying to change it. You're not trying to stop it. But you understand it, that it's the seasons coming into play. Anybody got any questions so far? Dorothy?
I understand what you're saying. But if one of my kids are in danger, I'm going to be praying for its safety.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a kind of a fine line here for me.
What I'm thinking as you talk about it is the prayer that he gave us. So as we pray for all those things, what do we ultimately say, though? Your kingdom come, your will be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As Anthony's saying, we can't change God's plan.
No.
If you start before it, saying pray about everything.
But do you see where I'm saying?
Sure. We need to pray.
Well, we're praying.
For my safety.
But what are we praying?
For your safety.
But ultimately, that God's will
for
be done.
We should pray for comfort and peace for what we're going through. The reason why I say that. Could you imagine, as Jesus is going to the cross, could you imagine Mary praying for his safety? His life is going to be given. You have to. Yeah, you pray for the missionaries. You pray for their comfort. You pray that God's hand would be up on them to guide them to go through what they need to go through.
Well, but I've heard him say, we knew somebody was praying because they were ready to come in and kill us, and God like put angels around us to protect us. That's why I guess my little brain here is kind of...
And that's where Ann's come in to say, you pray that God's will be done. Now, maybe a missionary is overseas doing something. Maybe all of a sudden, here comes a group that wants to kill him. You can pray that God's will be done. Maybe it's not his timing for them to be killed yet. Maybe it's not time for them to give their life for Christ's namesake yet. So all of a sudden, they're delivered from that. But all in all, it scripturally says that people will be killed for the name of Jesus Christ. So
God's will is going to be done then.
Exactly.
May your will be done.
Right.
Just like the young people that were just killed. I'm sure their parents were praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd be praying for my kids. They still were praying or killed because they stood up when they were asked if they were Christians.
Well, let's not jump into that too deep.
Right.
Reason why, we don't know the full circumstances.
No. Right.
The guy that gave his explanation, he said, I heard it was done this way. He wasn't there. He said, this is what I was told.
One of the girls in the hospital did say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because my sister was real upset and real worked up. And I'm not saying that it isn't something to be upset or worked up over, you know. But it's funny because I was getting ready yesterday and I thought to myself, this is the first time I think I haven't been like, oh, and not that it isn't, it's life, but it's coming. And to be all surprised and upset. And I guess this is the first time I haven't been in disbelief about that it is happening and why it's happening. Does that make sense?
Right. You have to understand it's coming right here.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
After it happened, I said, God, use it.
Yep.
To bring people to you.
Yes.
And
we as Christians, would we stand up?
Well, it's good to study this.
That too.
It's good to study this because it lets us know that there might come a time. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen to us, but there might come a time when you give your life to say, I believe in Jesus.
Right.
That's the truth. That's honest. That's just. Because God said that's the way it's going to be. Now, if you listen to the guy, the account the guy gave, he says, well, if you believe in God, then you're going to be with him this day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There I am. You know? You know, if you call yourself a Christian and you're not walking it, you're going to be scared because you don't know. But if you truly have Christ in your life, you know that the end's going to be good. You know it's going to be good. So we have to understand that these things are true. These things are just. These things are honest. And he says these are the things you have to think about. You know, you can walk out of the house and pray for safety, but at the same time, you have to say, God, your hands on me. Your hands on my family. You know what's coming. You know what's going on. And let your will be done.
Isn't safety really spiritual safety? I mean, you know what I'm saying? When you're praying for safety, I think that's the right thing to be praying for, but it's got to be for their spiritual safety, that no matter what they come across, they keep their faith strong.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of them don't have faith.
Then we pray for their spiritual safety.
But you see how we have to think of things that are true, honest, and are just. I think we sometimes let our emotions dictate what we think about too much. And I think when we actually look into the Word of God and seeing how things are going to be, what things are going on, then those are the things we think about. So let's go on. Not only that, he says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This really gets our mind to thinking, what should we think about? He's saying, think of the things that are pure. Think of the things that are honest. Think of the things that are just. Think of the things that are true. We got to think about what God said about things. And he says, if you give your life, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be blessed. He says, if you live your life for him, that you'll live in peace, safety, and unafraid. That doesn't mean you won't lose your life, but you'll be in peace, safety, and unafraid. You'll be unafraid to stand up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Those are the things we have to think about. But we think about, oh, no, that can't happen to me. Oh, no, that can't happen to my family. Oh, no, that, no. So we think about the wrong things. And when we think about the wrong things, fear starts to rise up. Anxiety starts to rise up. But if we can think, you know what? God's word is true. I can see these things developing. How can I put myself in a position to be there? Well, you draw closer to God. You draw closer to God. You read his word. You think about things that are true, the things that are just, the things that are honest, the things that have virtue in them. And when you think about these things, look at verse 9. I really like verse 9. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's break that down. The things which you have both learned and received. What kind of things are you learning? Let's just be honest for a second. What kind of things are we learning? Do we really take the time to learn of the gospel? Or do we just kind of put it on the shelf and try to remember what we was taught back in junior church, kids club, youth groups? Are we really taking the time to learn what the Bible says? Or are we just kind of reciting things that we know? He goes on, he says, the things that you've learned, the things that you have received, the things that you've heard, and the things that you've seen. When you walk with Jesus, when you walk in a relationship with God, you start to see how he works. You start to see what he's done. And what has he done? He went to the cross and he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We say, God, cast down fire on them because they came against me. You know? I mean, we got to do the things that we have learned and that we have seen in him. If we don't learn of him, if we don't walk with him, we don't know what he is. We don't know who he is. So then we start making up in our mind what we think he wants. But he says, I want you to learn. I want you to take time and learn the gospel. I want you to take time and see his behavior. And too many times he said, forgive them. And that's what we got to be. We got to say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We got to make room for each other's fault. That's something we read last week. The more time we spend with him, the more time we know his attributes. The more that we know his character. The more that we know who he is. The more we know what he's going to do. The more we know that, yeah, there's going to be wars and there's going to be rumors of wars, but I'm not scared. The more I got to see, yeah, there's going to be persecuted Christians. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for their family that God will give them peace. But I'm not scared.
We need to get some of those bumper stickers. Ain't scared.
Ain't scared. Not scared.
I just wanted to share something that helped me learn that passage, because depending on what translation you're looking at, there's different words. And so the class was, she did it as pre-plant is the word in your mind. Mm-hmm. So things that are pure, right, excellent, praiseworthy, lovely, admirable, noble, and true. So when you go, what am I supposed to be thinking about? You know, I think about that word, and then they all come to mind.
Right. And let's put it this way, praiseworthy. What things are praiseworthy? You know what? Trouble is praiseworthy. When you fall into different temptations, different kind of trials, different kind of struggles, aren't you supposed to praise him? You know, when we think of these things, we have to know it in order to think it. We have to know it. Because if you don't know it, what are you thinking? You're thinking the way that you would do it. You're thinking of how you would have done it. You're thinking what you think should be done. And we start thinking about those things, and when those things fall apart, then we're thinking, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand why Christians are being killed. I don't understand why these things are happening. Well, you can understand it because God's word said it's going to happen. And when you think of it, and you say, God, your word is true. I see it now. Your word is honest. Oh, I'm in different kind of trials. Let me give you praise. Let me give you glory. When your mind starts thinking of those things, as it says, the God of peace shall be with you. But I get back to verse 9. He says, the things that you've seen in him, the things that you have learned, he says, I want you to do them. I want you to do them. What things? Let's just think about some things that we learned just over the course of the Sunday school. We can go back to Matthew chapter 5. When people persecute you and say false evil against you for my name's sake, what are you supposed to do? Count it joy. He says, count it joy. He says, do that. But what do? We get upset. We fight back. We don't count it joy. He says, blessed are you when they persecute you. He says, blessed are you. So if you count it joy and understand you're blessed, now you're doing the things that he did. You're doing the things that you've learned. You're doing the things that you've seen. But if you don't do them, you're a hearer, not a doer. You see how it all starts coming together? When you fall into different kind of trials, what are you supposed to do? Complain? Call your friend? Talk about people? That's what we do. But he said when you fall into different kind of troubles, you're supposed to give him glory. You're supposed to praise him. Watch how he can work. So those are the things that we have learned. Those are the things that we have received. Those are the things that we have seen Jesus do. So now he's saying, I want you to do it. See, sometimes what I see is we become people that like to point the finger at what everybody else is doing wrong. And sometimes we need to stop and say, what am I doing? What am I doing? Sometimes we got to say, am I doing the things that I've seen God do? Am I doing the things that I have learned? Am I doing the things that I have received? If we really evaluate ourselves on an everyday basis, our lives will change. Our lives will change. And as our lives change, then we'll begin to experience the peace of God. And as we experience peace, people want to be around you. Now you can give that peace. They can say, well, how are you so upset? How are you so calm when all these things are going on? Now you can share. We have to be in a position to share the gospel. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I used to be scared, but then I start trusting Jesus. I used to be upset, but I start seeing that God's word is true. I start seeing that he says, don't be deceived, because things are going to happen before we get there. When you start to see it, when you start to live it, when you start to do it, you start to experience peace. But let's be honest, sometimes we're hearers, we're not doers. Sometimes we see, well, that's good stuff. Yes, that's good stuff. And we walk out of here with joy. And then the cares of the world comes in and chokes it out. And then we're that seed that fell on different kinds of ground. But he says, if you can do it, you're going to be challenged this week. What are you going to do? You're going to forgive them? You're going to say, God, they don't know what they're doing. And don't say, God, they're crazy. They don't know what they're doing. Just say, God, they don't know what they're doing. And let it go. It's not an opportunity to bash somebody. In the name of Jesus, you're the devil. No, no, you just kind of relax in the back of your mind. You say, God, they don't really know what they're doing. Pray for them. Understand that they're blind. Understand that they're lost. When you can understand that they're lost, now you know why they're doing the things they're doing. And then you say, well, Lord, they said they was a Christian. You know, I'm big on that. All kind of people say they're Christians. And like I always say, I can stand in my car in my garage and say, beep, beep. Does that make me a car? I can sit in church and raise my hand and say, I'm a Christian. Does that make me a Christian? No. I can sit in a kennel and bark and say, I'm a dog. Does it make me a dog? No. There's some other issues going on there. But we need to put the effort in to learning, to seeing, to spending time with God, and doing what we see him doing. The more we do that, the more peace that's going to come through us. The more peace that we're going to experience. Because we're moving into age, we're moving into time, man. People's going to be scattered. Yep. It's going to be like the old times when the shepherd was smitten and the sheep scattered. There's too many Christians. There's too many churches. There's too many people out there that's going to be deceived. If you stick close to God, you will not be deceived. If you know what his word says, you will not be deceived. I actually shared this at work this week as I was going through some things. We have to come to a place where we have a mind of our own. We have to start thinking about what God's word says and how it pertains to our life. Too many times we want to get on too many teams. Well, what do you say? What do you think we should do? I'm with you. No, we need to sit back and we need to plug in with God one and one. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And we need to let him tell us how to live.
Well, Paul says we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. He says, let the mind of Christ be in you. Yeah. And we gotta let the mind of Christ be in us. How do we do that? By listening to the Holy Spirit as he guides us, as he directs us. You know? And that's what I mean. We have to let the mind of Christ be in us, that we can have discernment, that we can see through things, that we can go forward. You know? To me, we don't want to be followers. We want to be leaders. We want to be leaders. And the only way we can be leaders is to follow me as I follow Christ. We have to follow Christ the way he wants us to. I think we got done on early on time today. How about that?
Woo! How's that go?
Any questions? Any comments?
Yes. What was the pre-plant?
Pre-plant. Things that are pure. Okay. Right. Excellent. Praiseworthy. Lovely, admirable, noble, and true. And I mean, the surprising thing, or it used to, why can't people see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then it says here, minds will be darkened.
Right.
And that comes right out of this word too. Like, I mean, we have the situation in Oregon, and people think, well, if we just make stronger laws, a totally different worldview, not realizing it.
Right.
And as we push God out, the evil comes in.
Right. And that's what...
That doesn't change the human heart.
That's what me and Heather talked about. I said, now all of a sudden, everybody wants to change gun laws. The fact is, people's heart is so far from God. That's the reality.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And we need to see people's actions.
But is it wrong to change the gun laws?
Yes. We have a constitution that...
I really don't care what they do with the gun laws, because no matter what you do,
yeah.
people still be blinded. Yeah. People still in darkness.
Yeah.
You can have the most extreme, strict gun laws. People still get their hands on them and kill people.
Yeah.
Right. Or you could have the very liberal gun laws. People still going to kill. Satan has people's minds blinded. We as Christians need to understand that. Blind. You know what blind means? Blind. That's like asking a blind man to paint the sunset. He's never seen it. He doesn't understand it. He can't comprehend it. So when you take someone who has not accepted Christ, you take someone who doesn't know Christ, they are blinded. They don't understand what we see. They can't comprehend it. They're in darkness. We somehow think they should see it. They're blind. We need to understand the fact of what blind means. They're blinded. They were so blinded. Think about it. They were so blinded that the Old Testament scriptures talked about how Christ was crucified. And they did it. They did it to the T. They did it exactly. His side was pierced. They did exactly what Isaiah wrote about. Because they couldn't see it. They were blind.
Which is just still mind-boggling to me. Like, it's right there. It's your word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But it just, yeah. If that doesn't show you what blind is.
Right. Right. You know, we can look at the children of Israel. They complained as God was blessing them. You know, sometimes we're so blind, we're doing the exact same thing. We complain as he's blessing us. So we have to understand what blind means. We have to understand that the world around us are blind. You have to accept Christ in order to see. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't think how well you can articulate words and present things. If they're blind, you can't open their eyes. You pray for them that their heart would be softened. You pray for them that there would be a crack in their armor, that the seed would fall in, that the water would be watered, that all of a sudden that they would say, you know what? Yes, I want to accept the Holy Spirit. I want to accept Jesus. And then their eyes will be open. But it's a prayer. It's a thing of prayer. We have to pray. We have to pray. And that's why the Bible says make allowance for each other's faults. To understand that they're blind. Blind. We got to put a blindfold on and walk around for a whole week to understand what blind means. Any other questions? I'm not used to this early stuff, but hey, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Any prayer requests? I know Paula.
His dad went through surgery. It went well, but pray for his heart.
Anything different, Paula? Any different prayers?
Just for work, and especially for for me too, for my sons.
Anybody else?
You know, Sandy had her.
Yeah. She told me she was having it done. She did say she wouldn't be here for a while.
For the churches and the people in Oregon this morning.
See, I you know, that's a good prayer, but I hope they can see what we're seeing. I hope they can understand that, you know, God forbid that it happens to us. Mm-hmm. But if you have to give your life for being a Christian, it's going to happen. Be strong in it. Be strong to be able to stand up and say, I believe in God. I believe in God.
I'd be comforted with, if that was my child and they were a Christian and stood up, I'd be comforted that they went to heaven. Just like I lost my daughter and felt she was a Christian, went to heaven. What breaks my heart is the ones around that aren't.
I know.
Christians.
I know.
But they saw.
That reminds me, that's what I was actually going to teach. The Lazarus, he died. There was a rich man, and there was another man who died. And he was on the other side of the gulf. And he told Abraham, he said, let me go back and warn the people. And he was saying, if they didn't believe the saints of old, they're not going to believe you either. And we'll maybe talk about that next week. But the point is we got to accept when we have the chance. No one dies without knowing. No one passes without having the opportunity to accept the Lord. No one passes without having the opportunity to choose this day whom you shall serve. And it's sad, but that's reality, because hell was created for all those who did not want to walk with the Lord. It was created for all those who have turned their back on the Lord and said, I do not want to walk with you. That's why it was created. And you know, but God was so just that he's given everybody multiple chances to accept him. He's given multiple chances. Everywhere you turn, the word of God is being given to somebody.
What's important for us, though, is for others to see our life.
Right.
Live for Christ, so that'll be something they'll want.
Right. Any other prayer requests?
Just children's ministry.
Children's ministry. How about the children in general?
People to lead them. That's what we need.
Leave them on doorstep? What are you talking about here, Rachel?
Somebody hold that key.
Anybody else? Well, let's pray. Father God, we come to you once again, Lord, thanking you for your word. Thanking you that your word is so pure, so strong, that it's right in front of us, that you've opened our eyes that we could see it. Lord, you have not left us blinded in any way, shape, or form, but you've given us an opportunity to be open, to see exactly what's going on. Lord, I just pray that we walk out of here and we continue to meditate on those things that are pure and those things that are right and those things that are honest and the things that hold virtue. Lord, let us see all that you are. Let us learn and receive all that you have to offer us, that we could do all the things that you've done, that we can experience the peace that you have for us. Lord, we lift up Denise and Dennis. Lord, we know they're going through a spiritual struggle. We know that Dennis needs to find salvation in you. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to him once again. Lord, we pray that you would just open his heart. Lord, we know that he has physical heart problems, but Lord, we ask that you would heal his heart spiritually. We ask that you would just knock on his heart and just let him know that you're there, that he would have the opportunity to receive you. Lord, we lift up Paula. We know that she's going through many things of her personal life, her work life, and her children. Lord, we just pray that you would lift her up and keep her strong and guide her through. Lord, we pray for her kids. We pray for her work and the people that she works with, that they would have the opportunity to receive Jesus, that they would have the opportunity to have their eyes open, to have their heart changed, that they could live a different life. But Lord, we know that that light has to shine through Paula, that they could see it. We just ask that you would keep her strong. Lord, we pray for Sandy, who went through knee replacement. Lord, we know that sometimes on this earth, we're going to have some physical pain, some physical trials. But Lord, in those moments, we just ask that you would comfort her. Let her know that all things are going to work out. Let her know that she can count on you. And Lord, as she goes through this, we just ask that you would give her a renewed heart, that she would come out stronger than when she went in. And Lord, we just pray for all the people in Oregon, that they would understand that you have not slept on the job, but that they would understand that you know what's going on, that they would understand that you are still in charge, that they would understand that there's a God to be served. And we just pray that this would be a witness for all those around, that they would understand that believing and trusting in you is the first and foremost priority. And Lord, we just pray that you would just give them comfort and just be with them this day. And Lord, we pray for the children's ministry, not only in the church, but Lord, we pray for all the children in the schools. And Lord, we just pray that you would protect them, that you would guide them. But Lord, you can't do that unless we as adults turn our hearts to you, that we could have that influence on every children that we come in contact with. And Lord, we just pray that you would protect those children till they get to that age, that they could make that stance to say, yes, I want to follow you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.